Well, we'll just begin reading in verse number 1 in Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Read verse 12 again. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Everybody listen to these words. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You know, you have a choice this evening to be taught by not me or another great teacher, but do you know you can choose to be taught by the Lord? The God of heaven will be your personal teacher, but you have to choose that. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of mine heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. That's the 25th Psalm in its entirety. And, oh, what a psalm. How rich and how raw David is being. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no doubt, as he's penning this psalm. You say, what do you mean raw? I mean, it's rich with forgiveness. It's rich with mercy and rich with goodness and the love of God and the forgiveness and the pardon of sin. That's rich. But it's raw in that in order for that richness of forgiveness and pardon to be available and to be needed and to be there, the raw reality is that there was sin and transgression that was committed in order for there to be a need of forgiveness, in order for there to be a need of pardon. And this psalm is nestled right here together with some very familiar and very famous psalms, probably the most famous and familiar psalm. I'm sure all of you probably know it. If not by heart, you know and have heard it read many times. I've probably read it many times. Probably have stood at a funeral home or over a graveside and heard this psalm, the 23rd psalm, read. Or maybe in a deep, dark storm in your life, you've went to the 23rd psalm. And then Psalm 22 right behind that great, powerful psalm. I want to just give a little context. In Psalm 22, we see the grievous shepherd as we view his plan. And you know Psalm 22, that great prophetical psalm where Jesus is being prophesied of Calvary and prophesied how they would treat the Lord Jesus as they crucified him. And the very words are there penned down and prophesied in Psalm 22 of this agonizing, cruel crucifixion and death that the Lord Jesus Christ would many hundreds of years later would not just be prophesied, but would actually it we know it to be true that it happened just like it was prophesied down to the very detail. And so we see this grievous shepherd as we view his plan, his pain in Psalm 22. In Psalm 23 we have the good shepherd as we view his provisions in the 23rd Psalm. And then in Psalm 24, we have the great shepherd as we view his preeminence. The 24th Psalm, will recall how it talks about the God of heaven and the power and how he founded the world and how great of a shepherd. But then in Psalm 25, as we just read, we see the glorious shepherd as we view his personality. And I want to deal with that for a few minutes this evening on the personality of the shepherd. And we ain't you glad this evening that we don't serve a generic God? I mean, honestly, ain't you glad that if you're saved and you know him, through the Word of God and through faith, you may not, and I'm sure you have not, I have never literally, physically laid eyes on God. I've never seen Him with my physical eye. I don't know, other than what the Bible teaches us and tells us about Him, I don't know what He looks like. And I've seen pictures and you know, don't get mad at me about this, but I very seriously doubt that these pictures hanging up, people have these portraits of Jesus. Don't get mad at me, but they may be hanging in your grandma's house or maybe at your house. But I can assure you, those pictures of Jesus that most have painted and portrayed is not anywhere close to the image of who He really is. I promise you, as we think about Him, as we look to Him, and we think about the person and the personality of the Lord, you need to know, and I need to know, when you get down to pray, does the devil ever bother you and just kind of give you a blur? Does your mind ever wander when you're praying and talking? And you know, we pray and talk like He's way up there, and He is seated on the throne. God's way up there in the third heaven, seated on the throne. But do you ever, as you're praying, try to picture who you're talking to? And it's sort of, you just draw a blur or a blank. And I know the book of the Revelation describes Him and talks about the white hair and the sword and coming out of His mouth and gives us a description. But I promise you, His face is not that face that all of y'all are picturing and know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about those who have painted a picture of Jesus and framed it. That kind of long-haired, hippie-looking fella. Jesus wasn't a long-haired hippie. He wasn't what Hollywood has painted him out and portrayed him to be. No, he was not some anemic, little bony, feminine-looking man. No, he was a man's man. Amen. And as we think about the person and the personality of God, I think it's important that we understand who He is. Amen. And we can better know Him and better get to know Him by understanding He's not just a blob or a blur or something that we cannot entertain but or have to dream about. No, He's not some big Santa Claus-looking figure sitting on a throne up in heaven. Listen, the God that you and I pray to, the God that the psalmist David is writing about and speaking about, He is a very person. He is a very personal God. And He's somebody that you don't have to worry about. And many times the word fear, the fear of the Lord, is penned here. And we should fear the Lord. But please understand, when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, we should not be scared to death of Him. He's not some scary figure or scary person. No, His personality is anything but scary. But that's when it talks about fear of the Lord, it's speaking of a reverential fear, of having a respect and of who God is and understanding He's a holy God. But we should long and want and desire to know the person. And we say, and just simply by testifying and saying, if you say that you're saved, then you've met the person. I've met, one-on-one, I've come in contact with the God of heaven. If you never have, listen, if you've never had a one-on-one encounter with the person, the God of heaven, then you've never been saved. Amen. You cannot get saved by coming to a church and joining and getting in a baptismal pool and getting immersed underwater or sprinkled over the head and getting to know the people of the church and getting to know the ways of the church and getting to know religion. There is no person or personality that represents religion. Now, in the Catholic Church, they have a hierarchy and they have a person who represents their religion. He's called the Pope, and people can personify and put a face to that person. They call him the very vicar of Christ. I mean, they say that he is God on earth, basically. And I'm here to say emphatically, they are wrong.
Amen.
The Pope has no hope for you. He can do nothing. Listen, the Pope is a sinner. Every Pope that's ever been born and died, and every Pope, and the Pope that's living now, is a sinner. That needs a Savior, the same Savior that I needed when I come in contact with Him. The same Savior, the same God, the same person that David is writing about and telling us about and trying to get us up close with this God that he had come to know. And so religion, there is no hope for you in religion. Don't go hunting help in religion. And I love Morningstar Baptist Church. I do. I love it enough to be a member of it. I love it enough to be the pastor of this church. But I want to tell you something, without apology, Morningstar Baptist Church cannot save you. The church in and of itself, this place, will not get you to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
You can come in every time the doors are open, but Morningstar Baptist Church is not going to. It's not going to save you. It's not going to. It's not even going to satisfy you. Apart from and alone and isolated from this person in whom I'm speaking of, the only power that this church has is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that person and that personality, we are nothing more than just a social group gathering together. Amen. There is no power apart from this person that David, the psalmist, is writing about. And so my point is, without laboring it more and more, is simply this. No religion, no church, no group of people has any help or hope for you apart from this person that the psalmist, that David, is speaking to us about. And I just want to say simply, he's speaking about him. And that's him. He's all through the words and the verses and the pages of this very psalm. And that's him. And I want to look at just a few things this evening. And you know, we once stood amazed, and it's in the song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wonder how amazed this evening. How long has it been since you've been awestruck and really just stood in awe and been amazed at the person of Christ? I say that to say this. He should still amaze us. Amen. He was amazing to David. David was experiencing this person. He was encountering this person, and he was amazed. He was absolutely astonished and enthralled and captivated. Amen. This person. Not another person. There wasn't another God in the Old Testament. It wasn't a God for the Old Testament and then a God for the New Testament. No, there is but one God. There is but one person, and His name is Jesus. And it's the same person that David is encapsulated by, and it's the same person that he's trying to personify and get us in on the fact of all that he done for David. And if we see what he done for David, I promise you, it amazes me. I know David's story. I know David's background. I know David's flaws and failures. And he was good enough, and he was kind enough, and he was open enough. And God allowed him to let his life be penned and put in public. I'm talking about the dark, dirty secrets. I'm talking about the black, ugly, nasty, gruesome details that we would do our best to hide from people. I'm talking about the details in David's life that, Brother Burrell, we wouldn't want anybody hearing about our deepest, darkest secrets. The most vile, wretched deeds we've ever done. Those things done in darkness. Those things done when nobody was looking. Those things that we went to great length to cover up and to hide. Everybody ought to just say amen. Because I just say this. We all got our church clothes on this Sunday. But if God was to cut the lights out and have a bright light shining up on that wall and just have your life, your name in bold at the top, and begin scrolling your life day by day, choice by choice, sin by sin, deed by deed, thought by thought, we would all hear the stones drop to the ground one by one. Because wouldn't none of us be casting stones? Oh, how quick we are to lob stones and to get on Facebook and punch in what so-and-so done and get on the phone and give the 411. Did you hear about this one? Hey, listen, if you'll know the truth, ain't none of us got no business talking about none of us. Say, I know what they done. Oh, we need to pray. Yeah. Well, I tell you what we need to do. We need to pray, but we need to pay attention to our own lane. Amen. You ain't ever seen a runner of a race. You ain't ever seen a runner of a race stop in the middle of the race and start giving commentary on the man running in the lane or in the track beside him, have you? Well, he ain't running right. Look, I mean, my goodness, he ain't got the right form. Can you believe that? Well, it ain't going to take long. He's going to get passed. Because either you're going to commentate or you're going to run your race. And if you're too busy looking at my lane and looking at my life and trying to scrutinize and categorize my lane, that tells me this, you ain't got your eyes in your lane. And trust me, it'll keep you real busy full time just to watch your lane. Stay in your track. Oh, God help us with our critical spirit. Amen. Now, that was absolutely free of charge, but good advice. In a day of Facebook, and I tried to help somebody. I've been praying for them. I mean, I've been dead serious. Lord knows my heart. I got up this morning early and reached out to somebody that I've tried to help. And I reached out to them and apologized. I ain't done anything wrong to them, but I apologized. There's been some issues that come to my attention. And I began apologizing, saying whatever I can do to make this right. And I hadn't done anything wrong, but I was trying to make it right. And next thing I know, it was just out public, just splattering and spraying church people and you know who wins in that situation? That person don't win. I don't win. Our church don't win. You want me to tell who's behind that? The accuser of the brethren, that old liar, and the one who wants to bring shame to the name of God and His church any way he can. And he will use and manipulate anybody or any situation, whether you were right or wrong, because it brings shame to the name of God. Amen? And to me, it was just a very small thing. But I'm telling you, take what I'm saying serious. Small things can get super big when you throw it out in the public. People who had no idea, people who don't even see the angle or know the details, when it just gets thrown out there, it looks so big and bright and bold and blazing, and people begin to wonder, and the devil, don't you know the devil's whispering in people's ear, well, goodness, what they doing over there? What kind of church is that? I mean, when in reality it was just something very small, a misunderstanding was all. So be careful what you throw out there in public. I believe that the preacher mentioned this morning what the devil meant for evil. And listen, anything he's doing, he means it for evil. Amen. Well, we once stood amazed in the presence of the Nazarene. Now most sit amused in the presence of naysayers. We need to get back to being amazed at Him. And quit worrying so much about being amused at them. I didn't come to preach on Facebook tonight. I got one. But Lord knows it would help us all. I got on this Wednesday night, and it's been wearing me out since. But it'd do us all good, to put Facebook down a lot more and get in God's book a lot more.
Amen.
I'm going to say this and move on and leave that alone. Just think how your life would change and mine if we spent as much time in His book as we do on Facebook. Just think how much good could be done if we shared this post and these posts as much as we share those posts. Just imagine how much good could be done for the church and for people and the community if we would like verses and click like on these verses and His Word as much as we scroll in everybody else's business, whether good or bad, and like.
Amen.
Just imagine what we could do if we would come in the comment section. If we would comment about the things of God and the church of God and the God of the church, if we would just get to commenting and just spend as much time in His book and with His book
Amen.
As we do Facebook. I did not come to deal with that, but oh, how we need it. I need it. I need it. Today. Today's the Lord's day. Have you spent, honest, don't answer out loud, but have you spent more time today, in this book? Or in this book? Today. That's just a quick word. That sounded long to me. I told you I ain't that preacher this morning. He got done in 25 minutes, the whole thing. And I'm not fussing. Please know my heart. I'm not fussing at you. I'm preaching to us. Because the truth is we all are guilty. We all are guilty. But just admitting our guilt don't change it. We need to do something about it. And get back to being amazed at His presence and His person and His personality. And get familiar again with the God who saved us. The God who settled in us and abides in us and lives in us. Oh, how we need to be refreshed and reinvigorated and amazed again at Him.
Amen.
And I find myself getting to the place where I'm unfamiliar with. I'm more familiar with today's politics, what's going on in Washington, and what's going on, and those things are important. I guarantee you, a lot of our young people could throw out stats and statistics about this baseball player, basketball player, pick the sport or what, and could tell you who's playing, who's starting, who's. And we've lost all familiarity with the person who saved us.
Amen.
We know very little because we spend very little time getting to know Him. We're not amazed at Him anymore. But we spend our time being amused by them and all that. David in this psalm. Oh, we got to hurry. By way of introduction, we'll call that. We need to get a fresh glimpse of Him. Wouldn't you agree? We need to lean on Him as He powers our situations. Amen. Look at verses 1 through 3. Ain't you glad you ain't got to live your life alone? Ain't you glad that there is help? There is, when you are powerless, when I'm powerless, when I need power, when I have run out of power, when I don't have it in me to hardly even stand, ain't you glad that there is a God, there is a person who has all power in heaven and in earth, and He will power and give you power in your situation? And David found that to be true. David said in verses 1 through 3, our situations include touching Him. Verse 1, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Not only touching Him, verse 2, the first part of it is trusting Him. We need to lean on Him. If we're going to lean on Him, that involves touching Him and trusting Him. He said, "Oh God, I trust in Thee." Amen. We need to get back to the person of God and being personal with God to the point that we are in touching distance and we are comfortable touching Him and reaching to Him. And not only, He said, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul," and trusting Him. He said, "Oh God, I trust in Thee." Amen. I'm talking about lean on Him as He powers our situations. Then testifying about Him, not only touching Him and trusting Him, but verse 2, He said, "Let me not be ashamed." Amen. Amen. Yeah. "Let me not be ashamed," David said. Yes. Oh, we need to lean on Him. And when we do, I promise you, you will never lean on Him and come away being ashamed. Because you will never lean on Him, and He will ever not give you a firm, steady place to lean.
Thank God.
I've never leaned on Him and Him give way.
Amen.
I mean, He's as firm a foundation.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen. I'm saying you don't have to be ashamed of leaning on Him. You may lean on your friends and they may let you down. Those who you thought would stand with you through thick and thin. Those friends that you thought would be there to the end. I've had many that I thought that I'll die and they'll be my best friend. Only to lean on them one day and find out that friendship wasn't near as strong or as important as I once thought it was. But I'm telling you this, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. He's a firm foundation, and you lean on Him, you'll never be ashamed. I've leaned on some, but they've let me down.
Yeah, amen, preacher.
People have. There's been many that's leaned on me, and I've let them down. Because when they needed me the most, and they leaned toward me, I have let them fall. I have not been strong when I needed to be, and could be, and should be for others. But I promise you this: you'll never lean on Him that you will not find a firm, steady, strong God, person that you can lean on and count on and trust on and that you'll never be ashamed of. And David said, "Oh, I can trust Him." So I'm saying lean on Him as He powers our situations. Touching Him, trusting Him, testifying about Him. Tracing Him. He ends up in verse 3 saying, "Wait on Thee." He said in verse 3, to close out verse 3, he said, "Yet let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Hey, are you tracing Him? Do you know where He's at? Say, "Well, I can't find Him." Are you looking? Are you tracking Him? Goodness, I ain't got time to preach on this, but I say this. When I'm expecting something to come in the mail, and I know some of you ladies ought to be saying amen on what I'm about to say. Y'all know these little cardboard boxes that has a little decal on them that says Amazon. Y'all get on the computer. Say amen, Jenny. Glory, hallelujah. She knows them. Boy, old Jeff Bezos got more of my money than... He should have sent you a personal Christmas card. You did get one. Do you know, when I order something, which I don't even know how to do it, I tell her to do it. She's very good at it. Very. A professional at that.
On Facebook.
She'll order it, and I know it's coming, especially if it's something I want, something I need, and the order's been placed. You know what you can do? You can get a tracking number. And you can keep up with exactly where that bad boy is at. What location, what town is it in, what truck's it on, how close is it to me. And I'll check that tracking number, put it in, say, oh yeah, it's getting close. Getting closer. Closer. You know what I'm doing? I'm tracking it. You know why? Because it means something to me. It matters to me. David said, I wait on him. He said, I'm tracing him. I'm tracking him. I'm leaning on him because he matters to me. He's got power that I need. Are we so busy that we get in our mode and shoot our little quick prayer, tell God what we want, like he's Santa Claus? Gimme, 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 gimme. Tell like he told me when I was, gimme got his neck broke. So that's what he's telling me. Gimme, gimme. Lord, gimme this. Lord, fix that. Do that, do that. And then off to life we go, to our work, to our job, to our day. And then we come back and we're like, well, my goodness, why ain't my box here? Why ain't I got no power? Where's my power? Lord, I'm weak. Lord, seems like my Christian life just ain't meh. It's just okay. Are you tracking it? Do you care about him? That relationship? Do I enough to track him and trace him and wait on him to see how close he is to coming through, how close he is to talking to me, how close he is to answering me? A lot of times, be honest, how many times do we ask him for stuff and we ain't even willing to wait on the answer? Do you know one of the greatest days in your life and mine will be when we realize that prayer is not a one-way conversation? It ain't you just talking to God, but it's a conversation. It's you asking, and ain't nothing wrong with asking God. David asked God for a whole lot. But he also waited before the Lord and said, oh Lord, I'm asking and I'm leaning on you because there's some things I need. David's in a bad place. David's in a place where sin has got a hold of his life. I mean, his life is, this man was the king of Israel. This man had all kind of things going on. And life had got out of control and spiraled out of control. And sin had got into his life. And he had hired and set up an awful, awful deed because his flesh got involved. And he should have been at war. And yet he was taking it easy and watching, and there Bathsheba was, and one thing led to another and to another, and he sent for her and he got her. By the way, the devil will see to it you will get that sin you want. If you want sin, he will serve it to you on a platter until he gets you hooked. And then he'll leave you on, causing you to chase it other ways. David got that woman delivered to him, and then there he was in a mess. He got what he wanted. The devil saw to it. Well, then that sin and that situation that seems so sensual and sexual and oh, just seemed like had to happen. I mean, had to happen. I mean, it's going to be fun one night, one time. Y'all, hey, y'all boys in the back listening? One night, one time, one toke, one sip, one vape. David had no idea that one little incident with that one little woman was going to land in his lap a problem that he couldn't just do away with as quick as he had her delivered. He couldn't deliver that problem to somebody else and have it be gone. No, he had to plan and devise a strategical plan that was way bigger and took way much more time and cost him more than he needed to pay and wanted to pay and kept him longer than he wanted to stay. Took him far, far away, and there he devised that plan, you know, to send Uriah, Uriah the Hittite, to put him on the front line, to have him killed. Oh, how sin will take you so far. Hey, listen, now do you see why David's saying, I'm leaning on you, Lord, I need your power. Oh, Lord, hey, please, listen, if you don't get nothing I say tonight, get this. You might be sitting here tonight and not think you need what I'm preaching. You may think, well, I'm all right. I don't know. Leaning on the Lord, getting personal with the Lord, getting to know His person and understand and learn His personality. What do I need to lean and track God for? Why I need to lean on Him and His power? I'll tell you why, because life's going to get so complicated, mixed up, messed up. Your world's going to get so turned upside down, it's going to get out of your control. And you're going to need somebody, something stable,
amen,
something firm to lean on. And I'm trying to tell you, that's God and God alone. What your mama can't fix, what your daddy can't fix, He and He alone is who you can lean on. And He'll provide power to get you out of situations you've got yourself in. And I'm speaking to myself. I've lived it, and God help, I'll probably live it again. But we need to know that we can lean on Him as He powers our situations. That's verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 and 5, look at Him. Not only as He powers our situations, but as He pilots our ship. Listen, the ships are built in the shipyards of self-righteousness. Ships are of rebellion are built in the shipyards of self-justification. You think you can do it. You think you got life figured out. You think you got life under control. Your self-righteousness is building a rebel inside of you that you cannot even see. He's invisible to you. You young people listening, you're going to be a rebel without a cause. Think you don't have a care in the world. I promise you, I know I got a little gray coming in, but it wasn't that long ago, Brother David. We were them boys sitting back there. Young, whether y'all believe it or not, popular, awesome looking. Thought that whoever was up there doing what I'm doing tonight was way old and out of touch. Didn't know what I was living, where I was living, how I was living. But I'm telling y'all better listen. It ain't been long. I ain't forgot living where y'all at. I know I look old and sound old and am old. But I ain't forgot. Listen, I'm begging y'all. I don't fall Don't go down the same road. Don't get sucked in by the devil. Sin will ruin you. Sin will wreck you. If you don't believe me, believe David. David was the king of Israel. He was the apple of God's eye. He was chosen. He was anointed. He had it all going for him. But I'm telling you, he was not immune to sin. Sin found him, and it will find you. And he thought he could handle sin, but sin handled him. And that's why he needed and wanted and desired, right here in this scripture, to find out who the person of God really was. Who is this powerful person? I want to get personal with him. I want him to pilot my ship. And we see the ships of religion are built in the shipyards of self-righteousness. Ships of rebellion are built in the shipyards of self-justification. Ships of reasoning are built in the shipyards of self-pity. The devil gets you feeling so sorry for yourself, you'll feel like you owe it to yourself to live how you want to live. Well, I owe it to myself. I deserve. David, down deep in his mind, probably felt like, I've lived for the Lord. I've done all this. I was faithful on my daddy's farm. I kept them sheep back on the backside. I slew that bear. I slew that lion. I took my brother's cheese. I slew Goliath. I deserve this. Now, ain't nobody paying me no attention. This, the whole nation of Israel, I'm over and I'm in control and in charge of it all. I got so much to do. I got so much going on. Life's so complicated. Life's so from place A to B. I ain't got time to turn around. And it's all up to me. I deserve. He got the reasoning out. And trying to reason out, and you'll find yourself in the bin of self-pity and thinking, well, I deserve. It's all right for me to slide a little bit. I mean, I've been standing strong. It's okay for me to dab and dabble. It's all right for me to go to this concert. It's all right for me to go to this party. I mean, I've been faithful to church. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Don't reason with something you know, because if you save the Holy Ghost of God, that person I'm preaching about lives in you. And when he says no, he'll whisper it to you. You know better. Hey, don't. And you ignore him and you'll reason. Well, yeah, but they going, but they all going. But I'll go, but I won't drink. I'll go, but I ain't going to do nothing wrong. I'll go, but I ain't getting in the car with no girls along. I'll go, and I can handle this. Every person that ever did thought they could handle it. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, who you think you are, God bless you. You can't. Blake, you cannot handle sin. It will beat you. It beats me. To date, and I got a lot of history and a lot of background and a lot of baggage, but to date, I cannot trust Michael Rochester. When it comes to me and sin, I cannot reason it out. If I give in to it a little bit, I promise you, I cannot trust me, because sin will whoop me. And it'll whoop you. It got David, and David was a mighty man of God. Look at him, the Lord, as he pilots our ship. David said, hey, listen, by the way, all those ships I just mentioned, they'll all sink. Although the ship of rebellion and reasoning and religion, all those ships will sink. This old little frame of a song or a poem said, fear not the windy tempest, wild thy soul, they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O weary child, thy father's on deck. You know what David was saying? He was in a mess, but he knew that there was a God in heaven. And he knew him. He was far from him, but he was wanting to get back close to him. And he began reaching out to him and calling out to him and saying, Lord, guide my ship, pilot my ship, pilot my life. Lord, I rebelled against you. Lord, I reasoned myself into a mess. But now I'm pleading with you, pilot my ship, guide my life. Come back and get personal with me. Be up close with me, Lord. Because that ship will not sink through life's seas. Verse 4, he said, show me thy ways. David said, show me thy ways. I'll listen now. You may not listen tonight, but there'll come a time you'll wish to God you had a, and then you'll be begging God, oh God, show me thy ways. I've tried it my ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. David said in verse 4, show me thy ways. I'm talking about through the life seas, through life storms. Verse 4, he said, teach me thy paths. Oh, he's ready to learn now. He wasn't wanting a teacher, but now he's begging for one. He wasn't wanting the class, but now he's happy. Teach me thy paths. There's no matter the source, the force, or the course of the storm. Ain't you glad there's a God in heaven who will pilot and guide your ship through life's struggles? Verse 5, David said, thou art the God of my salvation. You're going to go through struggles in life. I do. I tell you what, I can confidently and honestly and humbly say, I need Him to pilot my ship. I need Him to guide my life. I ain't got old enough. I talked about how old I was. I ain't got old enough to guide my own ship, to pilot my own way. I need Him to teach me His ways. I need Him to train me. I need Him to guide me through life's struggles. He said, thou art the God of my salvation. Lean on Him as He powers our situations. Look to Him as He pilots our ship. Listen to Him as He purges our sin. We're about done. Listen to Him as He purges our sin. Verse 7. Verse 7 said, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Listen to him. Hey, listen to him as he purges our sins. That's the person I'm preaching about tonight. Listen. There are youthful sins. I mentioned some. David said, remember the sins of my youth. Remember, not the sins of my youth. They are yielding sins, nor my transgressions. Hey, do you know what the difference between sin and transgressions are? Huh? I've heard it said this way. Sins are something we do, but transgressions are something we do wrong, premeditated. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Iniquity and transgression is something you know. You know better. I know better, and still do it. When the tendency within gets married to the temptation without, it produces transgression. That thing on the inside of you, when it marries up and yokes up with that wrong on the outside, that's what turns into transgression. He said, they're yonder sins. Verse 7, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Boy, ain't you glad we got a God? He said, I've sinned, and everybody in here can say amen to that. We're about done. Listen, David said, I've sinned. He said, the sins of my youth, oh God, and we all got them. But he said, remember me according to thy mercy. Ain't you glad there's a God in heaven? You deserve to be punished for your sin. You are guilty. You guilty for your sin. I'm guilty for mine. But there's a God in heaven. The person I'm preaching to you about, the God of heaven, will remember you and deal with you if you will seek Him, not according to your sin, but according to His mercy. In other words, because of how good Jesus is, when God in His holiness looks at you and me, He will deal with you according to Jesus, not you. According to His Son's merit, not yours. According to His Son's deeds, not yours. I say, what a Savior.
Amen.
What a God. What a deal that God would give us. The best thing we could ever get in on is to be treated like Jesus. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Boy, ain't you glad when He sees you? They just sang about He sees the blood. Goodness. If that ever got a hold to us, we done. But if that ever got a hold to us, when God the Father, when He sees you at your worst, He sees you as white and pure as snow. Because when He sees you, He sees His Son. He don't see your sin. He don't see your dirty. He don't see your ugly. He sees Jesus. And He's going to deal with you if you're His child.
Amen.
You're covered. It ain't just stuff we sing about. We are covered by the blood.
Praise,
I mean, goodness. I couldn't imagine the guilt and the shame and the agony of living life with all the guilt and weight of my sin. But all thanks be unto God for the precious blood of Jesus. I mean, it ain't a fairy tale or a fiction book. I'm preaching to you the truth. Hey, listen, God sees the blood. The blood of Jesus has not lost an ounce of its power. It's as pure today as it was the day He shed it. It's as fresh today to cover your sin as it was when David was crying out, remember mercy. Remember mercy. And He done it for David. Oh, He'll do it for you in 2020. He does it for me. He done it for me today. That's why I said, hey, this morning His mercies was fresh and new. This morning. That'll help you. It helps me to have a better, to want to get up close and personal. Not to some scary God who's going to come down with the hammer of judgment on me, but it makes me want to scrunch up close to Him knowing that He's dealing with me in mercy, how He deals with Jesus. Phew, goodness gracious. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be done. Read the rest of that psalm. It's good. Thank God for Jesus. Get personal with God. Amen. Get close to Him. Try to. Don't believe the devil as we stand to our feet. Don't believe the devil and his lies to make you think you ain't good enough, so God ain't going to deal with you. You've been too bad, so God ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I'm going to get my life straightened out, and I'm going to quit doing these things, and then I'm going to go get right with God. That day will never come. I'm going to clean up, and then I'm going to go to God. You'll never go to God. That prodigal son went back to his father's house, and his father fell on him, smelling like pig slop, dirty. Come to Him just like you are, and He'll fall on you and hug you and kiss you and love on you and develop that relationship, build that relationship with your father, because He loves you and He's waiting on you. Come home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I come to You tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I sure am thankful. I sure am thankful, Father, for a love that's indescribable. Lord, ain't enough words to articulate just how great the love of God is. Lord, how wide and bountiful Your mercy is. Lord, how deep and grand Your grace is, Lord. It's absolutely amazing. God, I pray You'd help us to fall in love with the person of God. Lord, I pray for these young people tonight, Lord. I pray for the middle-aged, God, the married, our seniors, Lord, I pray you'd help us all, God, to fall in love with you, Lord, afresh, to come to you, Lord, just like we are, just as we are. And as David did, to call out, repent of our sin, get washed whiter than snow. God, develop that relationship as a father and a son should be. Lord, help us to get close to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're getting ready to go home, but I wonder this evening before we do, if there's somebody that would be honest with God, honest with yourself. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired, living at a distance from God, trying to live a fake life, phony? Don't you do business with the Lord? You may be in here this evening and say, I've never truly been saved. I've tried living a religious life, but I have no real peace within. Nobody's looking. Nobody would come to you and embarrass you. I wonder if you'd just say, don't embarrass me. Don't call me out, but please pray for me. I want to know this God. I want to know this Lord, this Jesus that you spoke of. If you just slip your hand up and put it right back down, say, I don't know if I'm saved. God bless you. I don't know if I'm saved, but I want this relationship. I want to know this God. I want my life. I want the life that Jesus can give. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Could I pray for you? If you hadn't raised your hand and you want prayer, slip it up, put it right back down. God bless you. Let's pray. Christian, you do business with God. If I can help you in any way, I'll do anything I can. As He calls, you come. Father, I said I'd pray, Lord. I promised I would. I wouldn't dare, Lord, embarrass or point out anybody. But Lord, you saw the hands. God, you saw the honest hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, you would break the chain that binds. Lord, I pray you would set the captive free. Lord, I pray you'd save sinners. God, I pray that you would reclaim backslidden hearts. Lord, I pray you would break the chains, Lord, that have people bound. God, set the sinner free with the love of God. Show us, Lord, just how much you truly love us. Thank you for being such a wonderful, such a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Bless, Lord. Bless our church. Lord, help me, God, take the message, Lord, tonight. Apply it to my own heart, my own life. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, over my own life, my own family. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this church, Lord, over every church member, over every family and home. God, over our teenagers. God, over our young people. God, I pray you'd send revival. Do a work. God, please do a work in our young people. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.